A bill introduced into the Ohio legislature earlier this month by Republican Representative Bob Mecklenburg would be the most extreme voter ID law in the country. Mecklenburg introduced the Ohio Fair and Secure Elections Act, saying that it was meant to, quote, secure the integrity of the electoral process. As the bill is currently written, on Election Day, Ohio voters will be required to present either a valid driver's license from Ohio, an Ohio State ID card, a military ID card, or a U.S. passport. The basis of this law and other previous efforts around the nation is the risk of voter fraud. However, instances of voter fraud are so negligible that one statewide survey cites a rate of 4 fraudulent votes cast out of over 9 million in 2002 and 2004. That's a rate of 0.00004%. Since those least likely to have the required forms of ID are the elderly, youth, and minority, a majority of whom vote Democrat, the bill is being characterized as a blatant political ploy in advance of the 2012 elections. Because of the quirky nature of national elections, the state of Ohio is often a crucial swing state. Whoever wins the vote in Ohio can count on 20 electoral votes to decide a national election. President Obama won Ohio by a 5-point margin in 2008, and defeating Obama in 2012 is, of course, the GOP's top priority. Ruth Kolker, the Heck Faust Memorial Chair in Constitutional Law at Ohio State University's Moritz College of Law, says if HB 159 is passed, it would be, quote, the most extreme photo ID law in the country. Ruth Kolker joins me on the phone now. Welcome to Uprising.
Hi, happy to be here.
Thanks so much for joining us. Now, let's talk about the various communities that would be affected by this bill. Firstly, students. Currently, I understand students can use their student ID to vote. And of course, students voted overwhelmingly for Obama in 2008. Now, under this bill, if it were to pass and become law, student ID cards, even those issued by state universities, would not be eligible?
That's right. In Ohio, at the state university where I work, the Ohio State University, we've worked out a nice understanding with the state, and they will allow students who are living in the dormitories and don't have utility bills, that they get a letter from Ohio State University that indicates that they live on campus, they're an Ohio resident, and they're able to use that to prove their identity to vote right now at the polling place.
And even that is something that, you know, requires an extra step in a country where voting is often, you know, it's often difficult to inspire people to get out and vote.
Right. Well, it's been very nice of Ohio State to just go ahead and do that on behalf of students, and I appreciate them taking that extra step on behalf of our students to make sure that they can vote. Indiana has a pretty rigid voter ID law that we are mimicking in Ohio, but in Indiana, they let the students use their picture photo ID from a state university to vote and don't require them to secure this additional identification like we're now going to try to do in Ohio.
So someone who is from out of state and may have a driver's license from another state but lives in Ohio because they go to school there and would like to vote as a resident of Ohio couldn't do so under this new bill until they change their driver's license to that of an Ohio, and it has to be a valid Ohio driver's license.
Right. It has to be a valid Ohio driver's license. And as your introductory comments reflected, that not only hurts the young who about 25% of the time don't even have a driver's license mm-hmm. when they're in college, but it also really impacts negatively the elderly who often have let their driver's license expire because fortunately they're sometimes no longer driving. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason for them to renew their driver's license. They've been in many other states, such as Georgia, whose law we're also mimicking, they'll let the senior citizen use their expired driver's license, but we won't do that in Ohio if this bill becomes law.
And then, of course, a U.S. passport is something that most people only get if they are planning to visit outside the country. Again, this can disenfranchise people who generally don't travel outside the country, poorer people.
Right. Well, the impact on the poor will be really dramatic. Some studies have suggested that a very high percentage of young people who are racial minorities, who are poor, do not have driver's licenses, and they certainly would not have gone to the trouble of purchasing a United States passport. So, yeah, the impact on poor people, many from racial minorities, would also be quite significant.
Now, I understand that there's a provision that those who cannot afford to pay for a state ID card or who don't drive or don't have a passport can get a free ID card from the Bureau of Motor Vehicles, but this seems to be something that would cost the state a ton of money at a time when Republicans, even in Ohio, are gutting union rights, apparently because of budget woes.
Well, the interesting thing about the Ohio bill, that unlike Georgia and Indiana that both have such a provision, we will only provide that free ID if you're an indigent voter. In both Georgia and Indiana, they provided the free ID to anyone who doesn't already have a driver's license. So what Ohio has decided to do is pass that cost for the state ID mostly onto the voter and very rarely pick up the bill themselves. We don't know how they'll define indigent, but they might define that, you know, quite narrowly so that it would not, for example, cover students who are attending a state university.
How many people would this affect? Because, you know, some might say, well, you're going to cover most people with these laws, if not all, with these requirements. Most people have a state ID card or a valid driver's license or a military ID or a passport. But how many people do you know this would actually affect?
Well, we do know that roughly a quarter of college students do not have a valid driver's license. How many of them have bothered to get a state identification card, I wouldn't know that figure, but I don't know why they would bother to get one. They don't really have any need for the state ID card other than voting. Some statistics have also shown that for individuals with disabilities, a group I also care very much about 10% of them, most people would estimate, do not have a driver's license or a state identification card. And then as in terms of, you know, the elderly, again, roughly a quarter of them would not likely to have these forms of identification. So it's a fairly significant portion of some subgroups within the population.
And especially among the elderly and disabled, especially those who are on top of that low income, to go to a place to try to get a state ID card might be a very difficult or challenging thing. I mean, to vote, you usually can go right in your neighborhood. But if you have to get a state ID card from a Bureau of Motor Vehicles, it might involve a lengthy bus trip or, you know, having somebody drive you. And it might be a very, very difficult thing, just an extra hurdle, right?
That's right. I mean, in Ohio, I would say our public transportation system is not particularly well developed. Where I am in Columbus, I would probably have to take at least 3 buses from my house to get to a Bureau of Motor Vehicles office. It's not something I can readily do, but I can walk to my polling place. It's within a quarter mile of my house. So it is a much more onerous step to get the state ID, and people don't need that state ID for any reason other than voting. One person mentioned to me the other day that it's odd at a time with rising gas prices and college students and others really being stretched a lot financially to insist that people need a driver's license. Maybe that's not going to be your first priority right now if you don't own a car and are using public transportation to get to work or to school.
Right. And in terms of numbers that I'd asked earlier, I found one statistic in the Huffington Post. According to state Democrats, an estimated 890,000 Ohioans, that's almost a million, do not have a government-issued photo ID card. And, of course, the basis of this is the issue of voter fraud. I mentioned some statistics looking at elections in Ohio 2002 and 2004, 0.00004% of voter fraud was found. And this is, of course, the justification used by Republicans for this kind of law. But isn't it a blatantly political ploy to disenfranchise mostly Democrats in a very crucial swing state for an election that Republicans have already openly declared a war against Democrats on?
Well, you know, I hate to cast aspersions on people's intentions, but it is the case that this law would have a disparate impact against those groups that traditionally have voted Democratic. And in terms of voter fraud, even the statistics that you mentioned that reference voter fraud, those are never instances of voter identification fraud. The only kind of voter fraud this statute would seek to prevent is a situation where someone goes to the polling place pretending to be someone who they are not, what we call voter impersonation fraud. Most instances of voter fraud actually involve the absentee ballot, people securing someone else's absentee ballot and voting it on their behalf without them knowing. This bill would oddly have the opposite effect of causing more people to seek the vote by absentee ballot because we don't have these ID requirements for absentee ballots. So it actually might increase the potential for fraud instead of decreasing it.
How will this bill stand up in court? I mean, doesn't it violate some aspects of the Voting Rights Act? And I understand that the U.S. Supreme Court upheld a similar law that was passed in Indiana, which was the one you mentioned earlier.
The Supreme Court did uphold the Indiana law, but the Indiana law is not as rigid as the Ohio law. The Indiana law says that those who live and vote in nursing homes when the nursing home is itself a polling place, would be exempt from these ID requirements. The Indiana law provided free identification for anyone who does not have a driver's license. You didn't have to be indigent. And the Indiana law allowed students to use their state-issued ID to vote. So the Indiana law is not nearly as stringent as the Ohio law. And since the constitutional law in this subject balances the harm to potential voters with the potential benefits that might be attained in terms of avoiding fraud, I think the Ohio law would likely be struck to be a different balance, the unconstitutional side of that balance.
So you are confident that the Supreme Court, if it does get to that, or perhaps even a lower court, will most likely strike this law down?
Well,
if
my crystal ball is always a little hazy, but I think that that's a very likely possibility. And I should note that Secretary of State Husted, our Secretary of State in Ohio, Republican Secretary of State, has not yet endorsed this Ohio bill. He did not testify in its favor, which suggests that he must also be doing the same calculation I'm doing and thinking that this is of doubtful constitutionality.
And you testified on this issue, but some are saying that this bill, HB 159, looks like it's sort of being rammed through pretty fast. Does the public have any more options for expressing themselves?
The Senate will hold hearings, but yes, it has been rammed through quite quickly. They held hearings within a week of the bill being proposed. Usually hearings are 2 days, one for opponents, one for proponents. They held both sides on one day. Those of us who wanted to testify in opposition had to wait 6 or 7 hours to testify. So this has been on a very fast track. I'm hoping that it will slow down, especially with the Secretary of State refusing to endorse the bill.
Now, whether this bill passes or not, or whether it gets legally challenged or not, I'm wondering if it's already going to cause a lot of confusion among poll workers and voters in 2012 who may or may not know what finally the situation is.
Well, it certainly will cause confusion. And one of the things I testified about is that Ohio is going to have to have a very active publicity campaign if it adopts this bill. The Georgia Secretary of State said at the hearing that they spent about $2 million in publicity when Georgia passed such a law. And I can't imagine Ohio wants to spend $2 million on publicizing these rules if they go into effect. But one reason the Indiana law may have been upheld was because they did engage in a lot of publicity about it. I don't know that Ohio will take those steps.
And are people in Ohio aware of what is happening in general? I mean, has it gotten a lot of local media coverage? Are there student groups that are up in arms or organizing some kind of protest or public expression against it?
Probably not enough. There's been a lot of attention to our union stripping bills. There's a lot going on. Both the Columbus Dispatch and the Cleveland newspaper published an editorial this weekend opposed to the bill, and I was happy to see that. The Columbus Dispatch often takes a more conservative, Republican-oriented perspective, but even they concluded in an editorial this Sunday that this bill is bad policy for the state of Ohio.
Finally, Ruth Kolker, also give our listeners just the briefest historical background on these sorts of demands for photo ID cards and creating hurdles to voting that are very much embedded in the Jim Crow era of American history.
Yes, I mean, that's a real problem. These voter ID laws, ironically, began in Georgia, and Georgia is the state that invented the poll tax. We have a constitutional amendment, the 24th, to strike down poll taxes as unconstitutional, but I do think that it doesn't take much to see that this is a part of a longstanding history on the part of some states to try to disenfranchise poor and minority voters, and I'm sorry to see Ohio play that game.
Ruth Kolker, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Ruth Kolker is the Heck Faust Memorial Chair in Constitutional Law at Ohio State University's Moritz College of Law. We've been talking about House Bill 159, which was just introduced into the Ohio legislature by a Republican. And it would, if it passes, be the most extreme photo ID law in the country, according to Ruth Kolker. And we'll see whether it stands up to legal scrutiny or not.